Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our buddy Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, we haven't spoken to in a while, or at least I haven't, because he was on when I was. How you doing, Chris? What's happening, man?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, good. I mean, I know it's only four games, but they've been a little better than we thought so far.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought at the beginning of the season it was going to be more tough for them because of so much new, because it was a new system. And it was going to take them time to get acclimated and get comfortable with what they were doing offensively and defensively. So for them to pick up two wins early in the season and be 500 with a chance to be better than 500 tonight, I absolutely think it goes to show that, one, they have taken to what John Beilein is teaching them, and two, you can see the influence that this new coaching staff has had on this group and just the way that they're playing. It lends itself to more competitive basketball, both offensively and defensively.
You know, it's funny, you had a young basketball team, but you still have some veterans like Tristan and Kevin Love, and you know, the other night in the Bulls game, I actually went to the game, and it was kind of fun to watch because, you know, those guys specifically were, like, really engaged. I mean, they both played pretty well. Kevin played really well. You wonder, like, how those guys would fit in with all these young players, and you know, they looked like they were having a lot of fun, right? I mean, and that's something that, you know, obviously last year wasn't the case. But do you think those guys are going to continue to play like this? And if they do, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. Like, I don't think this team's like going to the playoffs or anything like that.
Right. I think the most important thing that happened to this team was last year and learning how to deal with young players. And I think Tristan Thompson, from a leadership standpoint, and Kevin Love, from a leadership standpoint, learned a lot from the Colin Sexton situation that has helped them with Kevin Porter Jr. and Dylan Windler and Colin in year two and Jetty Osman in year three and Darius Garland as a rookie. I think they learned patience last year. I think they recognized that at one point in their careers, they were those guys and they had to put themselves back in their shoes and they were no longer championship contenders, and they had to find different things that could mark success for them, and they had to find different things that they could use to get themselves through the course of the season without banging their head against the wall, loss after loss after loss. And I think the other thing is Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson have fully embraced John Beilein, and John Beilein has asked those two, along with Matthew Dellavedova, Brandon Knight, Jordan Clarkson, and to a lesser degree, Larry Nance Jr., to take the leadership role. And John doesn't know things about the NBA. And he even mentioned it the other night after the Bulls game. He said, look, I talk to these guys on a daily basis, and I ask them questions about what they like, what they don't like, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And I think when you empower players like that and you give them a voice like that, they can find meaning in so many different things that they do beyond just getting rebounds and scoring the basketball and stuff like that.
Unlike our old friend David Blatt, right, who wouldn't admit that he had things to learn.
Exactly right.
At all.
Right? In fact, David Blatt didn't celebrate victories because he had already compiled so many. And I thought that was really, really telling that, you know, John Beilein even admitted out loud, like, the win that he got, the first NBA win that he got in the home opener, was one of the most significant ones of his entire career, and the game ball is going to have a special place somewhere when he displays it in his house.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, you mentioned Tristan there before. Even when they, like, obviously when LeBron was here and the Cavs were good, you knew he wasn't going to score much, but even when he's been on other bad Cavs teams, he's never taken more than 9.7 shots per game, and he's never scored more than 11.7 points per game. I obviously don't expect him to keep up 20 points per game and 16 field goals a game. Will there be an in the middle? Is he going to go all the way back to like last year or the year early years with 11, 12 a game? Or are we going to see significantly more shots and scoring throughout the whole season?
So I think we're going to see more. Again, like you, Bull, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's going to average 20 and 10. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's going to be one of the best offensive centers in the Eastern Conference. But I think we're going to see more simply because John Beilein is putting trust in him to do more. Tristan Thompson knew when John Beilein came over, Tristan talked to Nick Stauskas and he talked to Jordan Morris, two guys that played for John at Michigan. And he talked to them and he said, what am I in for here? Like, what is my role going to be? What things do I have to do so that I can succeed in a John Beilein offense? And at that point, Tristan decided that he was going to try and extend his game. Now, look, guys do this all the time throughout the course of the offseason. They add jumpers or they experiment with a three-pointer or something like that. But Tristan really, really worked at it. And he had a longer offseason than usual, two more months to get himself in shape and to work more on his game because the Cavs didn't go into June. They ended in April. So I think the opportunities that Tristan is going to get in this offense will help him because he'll continue to have an opportunity to pass more and take care of his baby hook shot and maybe be more than just a roller and an offensive rebounder. But the other thing is it's a credit to Tristan himself because he's one of the last people to leave the practice floor. He stays late and he hoists three-pointers. And even if his three-pointer doesn't improve, you can see that making some of those in practice has given him some confidence on the offensive end that even if the range doesn't exist from three, maybe he becomes a better free throw shooter by way of what he's been working on, or maybe he gets more comfortable with the jump hooks. And the other thing, and as I was talking to Tristan about this the other night, if teams continue to sag off him and dare him to shoot, he feels like he can just eat up that space quickly, use his strength and his body to get into defenders and then get to some of the stuff that he's more comfortable doing. And he watched Giannis do that throughout the course of the playoffs. He's not Giannis. He doesn't compare himself to Giannis. But how he gets guarded is sometimes the same way, and he took notes on that in the offseason.
Chris, Kobe Altman gets an extension here. Is that a long-term extension here? Is that a smart call by the Cavaliers?
I think so, because I think the things that you want from a general manager in a rebuild and the resources that you want to be set up to have in the future, Kobe Altman has provided. And I think, Dustin, we've talked about this before. You can nitpick a lot of different things
for a lot
of different GMs. And you can say, I don't like this one thing, I don't like that one thing. But I think his overall track record points to a guy who was the right person for this particular job of a rebuild, and I think he has the Cavs set up for a bright future. Now, does that mean that all of a sudden they're going to be a championship team in a couple of years? I don't know. But the things that rebuilding teams need to have, young controllable assets, draft picks, and financial flexibility because there aren't too many quote-unquote bad contracts on the roster that extend deep into your rebuild, he has set that foundation. And I think it's fair and right to allow him to see it through because he has done a really good job with what they've asked him to do already.
Chris Fedor is our guest. Chris, you know, Dan Gilbert, since he's had his health issues, has been relatively under the radar. How's he doing and where's he at?
He's doing better. He's progressing. I think that's the term that a lot of people around the organization use. I just think, like, the smaller details within an organization aren't brought to Dan in the same way. Like, Kobe Altman's not going to go to Dan Gilbert and ask him what to do for bobblehead night. You know what I mean? Like, small details like that. But when it comes to the bigger stuff, he's in the loop. He understands the plan. They've talked about some of these quote-unquote trade chips that they have for the deadline. They've talked about a bunch of different things with Dan. It's just he's not going to be as present because physically it just makes more sense for him to be where he is in the comfort of his own home, getting the care that he needs. Because when anybody, I think everybody knows, when you have a stroke, like, it takes a toll on you physically. And that's just the reality of what he had to deal with. I think it was really good for the Cavs to go visit him when they were there in Detroit for the preseason. He had an uplifting message, and he let everybody know that he was on board with the plan and he could see a lot of positives. And I think if you've been around this organization the last couple of years, the vibe in the organization is night and day positive today than it was last year at times when they were going through everything that they were going through. And Dan is very well aware of that, even though he's not fully present.
We're talking with Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, it's so interesting right now, right? Like, the Cavs are starting over. The Warriors have Steph Curry hurt. No Durant anymore. They're a disaster at the moment. We'll see what they are in the long term. Kyrie goes to the Nets. They're off to a bad start. And there's already whispers that, you know, like, what did you expect? Let's talk about that. What did they expect? Kyrie's never going to change, right?
Right. Right. I think this is the thing, though. And I think everybody should expect it. But sometimes when it actually hits you and you see it for the first time, it's a lot different than what you even anticipated. You know what I mean? Like, I think John Beilein, for example, got all this different advice from Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens and some of these other coaches that he really respects. And then in the preseason, the realities of the NBA hit him. And he was like, oh, my gosh. You know what I mean? You have to feel it. You have to experience it. And I think in some ways, Kyrie and his moodiness and his overall personality and the things that you have to manage on a daily basis with him, I don't know that you can fully understand what you're getting yourself into until you actually go through it. And I think now the Nets are actually going through it. They're feeling it on a daily basis. And they're probably thinking to themselves, like, oh my gosh, is this going to continue? Are we going to have to deal with this the entire time? Underrated in the whole Kyrie-LeBron dynamic was David Griffin and what he meant to Kyrie personally and what he meant in terms of fostering the relationship between LeBron, Kyrie, and Kyrie and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it takes a special kind of person to handle that. And I don't know that the Nets have that kind of person. I don't know that they know fully how to get through to Kyrie.
It's funny, Chris, you look at the Golden State Warriors. They go from a team that has been in the championship every year, winning multiple championships, and now they look like the worst team in basketball, and now Steph Curry's hurt. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, Steph, for 3 months on the sidelines, look at the rest of that roster. In fact, I would go further than that, Dustin, and say it's probably better for the Warriors to not make the playoffs. If they can
be a lottery team, right?
Yeah, if they can get into a position where they keep their draft pick and they add something of value, a young, controllable piece to place into this core that is aging, that has a lot of questions around it because of Klay Thompson and how he's going to be recovering from a torn ACL and how Draymond Green is going to age and what his game is going to look like 2 years from now, if they're going to hang on to D'Angelo Russell or if they're going to try and flip him at the deadline. Like, the components that they had around this team coming into the year were disastrous to begin with. And this might actually turn out to be a blessing because now they don't have to demand as much from Steph and they can let him get a little bit of rest, time off his legs after so many finals appearances. They don't have to rush Klay Thompson back in his recovery, and maybe they're not going to put as many minutes on Draymond this year as well. So this could be a blessing to them, and they just have to take advantage of it and, I think, look at it that way.
You know, Chris, maybe I'll get more into the NBA once we get past the football season. I don't know. I thought I'd be a little more into it this year because for the first time in I don't know how long, at least 9, 10 years, there's no clear – not that the clear favorite won every year, but we've had an overwhelming favorite, you know, whether it's LeBron or the Warriors for a decade now, and there's really no clear favorite, right, at this point?
And you're making my argument bold that I've been trying to make for the last 5 years.
You need the bad
years.
Team. You need the team that everybody hates.
Exactly right. You need the team at the top of the mountain, whether it was the Miami Heat, whether it was the Golden State Warriors. Because as much as people said they didn't like it because they felt like they knew the outcome, they would tune in to watch that team fall. There is something in a fan about seeing heroes fall. And I think that was the Golden State Warriors for 5 years or whatever. They wanted to root against them, and they wanted to see them fail. And that was interesting, even though the final result was kind of known.
All right, Chris. Good stuff, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, guys. Enjoy tonight's game. Chance for 500
plus. There you go. Who would have guessed that? Chris Fedor, Cleveland. Oh, Chris, before you go.
Yeah.
Obviously, this Browns season, I haven't talked to you about the Browns in forever. The season's been a disaster so far. We were obviously, Baker acted like a buffoon earlier this week, in my opinion. What do you make of the Browns right now and what happened with Baker this week?
Yeah, nice talking to you guys. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if I want to set myself up for this.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a surprise because they were really, really talented. But there was something that I continued to use as an example throughout the course of the off season, and it was one of the biggest concerns that I had. I felt going into this year that the Cavs reminded me a lot of the LeBron 2014 team, but they didn't have LeBron, if that makes sense. Right? Like they acted.
You mean the Browns. You said the Cavs.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean.
You're saying the Browns reminded you of the 2014 Cavs?
Yes.
Okay, right.
From the standpoint of, like, they had this conglomeration of talent, but they didn't have a guy like LeBron who was going to make it come all together. So they had nobody that knew how to win, and yet they were acting like they had accomplished something. And if you remember, it took the Cavs, like, I don't know, more than half the year and multiple trades before they actually turned from a team that had a bunch of talent into an actual team. And part of the reason why they were able to do that was because they had LeBron. So the Browns have the talent, but they don't have the guy like LeBron who could bring them together and teach them how to be a team. I just think that was always going to be the missing ingredient. I felt like their talent was going to allow them to overcome, and maybe it still can because of the schedule that they have coming up. But I think you see that playing itself out.
No doubt. All right, Chris. Good stuff, man.
All right,
guys.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.